This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got you back. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. We're going to go to North Carolina and bring in our buddy Will Brinson. This has somehow turned into a David Tepper show. And I don't, again, it's insane. And Will, who's based in Raleigh, he went scorched earth over at CBS Sports. I encourage y'all to read the article at CBS. Again, Reich fired by the Panthers, but Carolina's owner, David Tepper, remains the bigger issue. So we're going to get to that and also some plays as the NFL continues. But let's start here, and then we'll jump into the drama. You have a choice on Justin Fields. You're the Bears front office. What are you going to do? Again, you got to pay him. If you draft one of the rookie quarterbacks, they're coming in on a rookie deal. That's advantageous, but I want to know what you would do.
Well, I think it depends a lot on where your picks end up being. You know, obviously the win over the Vikings moves the Bears. I think they have the fourth pick. And of course the first pick coming from the Panthers. So let's say you have the first pick and the fourth pick, if the draft ended where it does today, and we actually just talked about this on my podcast with Pete Prisco, Pick Six Podcast. You can check it out, subscribe where you get your podcast. But I think there's a chance you could pull off a trade down with like New England. It depends on whether Belichick's there too. Like if you can pull that off, right? There's a lot in flux here, or maybe even Washington, and you could pick up a bunch of extra draft capital while keeping Justin Fields, adding maybe an offensive lineman, and picking up Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that would probably be the ideal situation in terms of building the best roster you could possibly get. I think the issue is, guys, I'm not sold on Justin Fields. I think you can see some signs that he can thrive in the pocket. You probably have to, you know, Luke Getsy and this offensive team, like the offensive coordinator and everybody, the coaching staff, it's like they don't bother accentuating what Justin Fields does well until they're like 1-5. And they're like, maybe we should let Fields run. Maybe we should design some runs for Justin Fields. Like that should be built into the game plan every single week. And I would hire a coach who wants to do that if you keep Fields. I think the other problem is Caleb Williams and Drake May. I mean, they're not guaranteed to be great quarterbacks in the NFL. Caleb Williams, I know, is like supposed to be this unbelievable prospect. He's had his ups and downs this year. And that always happens when you have the Heisman hype that he got from last season. Drake May hadn't beaten a good defense in his career at Carolina. And I say that enthusiastically because my NC State Wolfpack smoked Carolina on Saturday in Raleigh. But I think right now I'd be leaning towards Fields. But I didn't think I would say that because I didn't love Fields coming out. I'm hesitant to dive right back in when you could possibly put enough around Fields where you had Marvin Harrison Jr. And then with DJ Moore, and you feel like you got something you can really cook with at the, you know, if Fields develops at all.
I like that point you made there. But overall, just from you, what you've broken it down very well. But what is your gut feeling the Bears do? Because the one thing Patrick pointed out is you've got a new regime there. And I think Ryan Poles ends up taking his own guy. He didn't draft Justin Fields. And it resets the clock on the contract. We talked about it earlier on the rookie deal. Is that what they probably end up doing? Whether it's the right move or not, we'll see. But it seems like the move that teams make.
Yeah, you know, the reset the clock thing, the other thing it does is when you take over as a GM, you have two clocks that start when you first take over. You have the quarterback clock and you have the coaching clock. And now you can hit the reset button on the coaching clock usually once and get a second chance at a coach. You can't do it with the quarterback, right? You get one shot at the quarterback. So I think it's really interesting here. If you're Ryan Poles and you think that you can't win with Justin Fields and you feel like there's a chance Matt Eberflus gets fired after this year, which there still very much is, you could hit the reset button on the coach situation, bring in an offensive guy, and also hit the reset button on the quarterback situation at the same time. And that can potentially extend the livelihood that you get because you're pairing that coach and that quarterback. So I would say yes. I think it's more likely that they take another quarterback because of the salary reset and the timeline reset for Ryan Poles. It extends his livelihood as GM because he's finally got, you know, his own guy.
Our buddy Will Brinson, you heard it, the Pick Six podcast, CBS Sports. Go check out the article about Frank Reich being fired. So let's just start at a very basic place. Do you believe Frank Reich was the right head coach for the Carolina Panthers moving forward?
Moving forward, no, I don't think so. I definitely did before the season. I thought Frank Reich was a great hire. I'm a big Frank Reich guy. You know, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles as the coordinator, of course. I thought he got a raw deal in Indianapolis. I mean, he had, you know, Andrew Luck retires. He makes it work with, like, Jacoby Brissett. Maybe it's because he's only had NC State quarterbacks. I may be a little biased there. He had Phillip Rivers, of course. The Carson, the thing that did him in Indy was that he really hammered the table and said, we got to trade for Carson Wentz. Wentz cost them a shot at the playoffs in that Week 18 game. Ursay hated him for it and held grudge against Frank Reich. I think hearing what we've heard the last couple of days, reading between the lines, you know, listening to people around the league and sort of, you know, look at, like, what's happened with the way that they've handled this coaching staff post-Wright, right? Frank Wright gets fired, and they promote the special teams coordinator to head coach. They keep Thomas Brown as the offensive coordinator. Jim Caldwell becomes a special assistant to the offensive coordinator. What the hell is that? I've never even heard of that. You ever heard of somebody? It's like the offensive coordinator now has, like, a babysitter? Like, so you just gave him, like, Jim Caldwell's, like, a babysitter. Like, what is that? He's a special assistant to the offensive coordinator? That's insulting. And then the new coach fires Deuce Staley and Josh McCown. Josh McCown's first stint as in the NFL as a coach. And you saw his agent, Mike McCartney, tweet out. He's like, weird day in the business for sure. That's all I'll say. I think what happened was, and Joe Person of the Athletic did a good job talking about this. It's sort of floating under the radar. Wright comes in. They also add Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown apparently they were attempting to meld Wright's offense with a bunch of stuff from Thomas Brown's time with the Rams and Sean McVay. And that's really hard to do if you have, like, a veteran quarterback who, with a good offensive line and weapons who he's familiar with timing-wise and who have explosion down the field. Well, the Panthers have a terrible offensive line. You know, they're probably there's a lot more of this zone blocking stuff they're trying to do, and they have this mauling, like, downhill running team that they need to utilize more. They have zero vertical explosion whatsoever. Adam Thielen's their best wide receiver. He's a good three, a really good three. He is not a number one. You heard the Titans talk about it. Mike Vrabel said 30% of his targets were on third down because they just lock Bryce Young locks in on him, so they just took him away, and the Panthers can't convert anything. And then, you know, you have this rookie quarterback who's behind a bad offensive line with no weapons, trying to learn this melded system that even the coaching staff isn't really on board with. And I think some factions may have developed in that coaching staff, this all-star staff with 200 years where everybody's a little proud and maybe, you know, everybody's been around for a while. And you see when Wright gets fired, the loyalists, and this happened last year with Matt Rhule, Steve Wilks fired Phil Snow and a bunch of other dudes because they were Matt Rhule guys. You know, the Wright loyalists got fired, and you sort of wonder, and right now is saying that he's probably done in the NFL. Like, so he may have been checked out for a month for all we know. And I don't know. It's a total disaster down there. I definitely think he wasn't the right guy moving forward, but I don't think it's because he didn't love it. I think it's because he just knew he was getting fired a month ago because David Tepper put an ultimatum on his job.
I'm sorry, Mal. Let me just say this. Wait, Will Brinson, this is all alleged. So don't worry. It's not on the record. What dirt are you hearing potentially within that staff?
Well, Prisco said, I can quote Prisco and then get away with anything I want, right? So
there you go.
Pete said that somebody told him, he said this on the podcast, but he said somebody told him that it was like the staff is like a bunch of gym teachers. Which,
got it.
It's like, you're like, what? And then you're like, oh, you mean like old, like crusty dudes in like short shorts, blowing whistles, and sort of kind of check phoning it in and like yelling, like, hey, what are you doing, Smith? Find the rope. I think that's sort of like the comments from Frank Reich are stunning to me because this is a guy who, and I think a lot of times coaches, it would behoove them when they get fired from a job, even though he took a half season off, take a year off and recharge. Mike McCarthy, you know, we made fun of him. Everybody made fun of him for the analytics. Like, I went PFF for a day, and now I'm a smart analytics guy. We all made fun of him for it, but he got a year off. He recharged his batteries. You can see he came back better. Like, Rex Ryan jumped straight from AFC East to AFC East, and it didn't last long. And I think Frank Wright probably burned out to the point where he may not want to coach again. Pretty crazy.
Well, when you look at Bryce Young, what was your thoughts about him coming into the draft? The general is consensus, and then based on 10-11 weeks so far, he's still a rookie, but if people kind of downgrade him a little bit, or just the fact that you pointed out earlier, I mean, he doesn't really have. You got Chark, you've got Mingo, Adam Thielen, you mentioned a number three at 33 years old. He doesn't have a ton around him.
He's got nothing around him. Yeah. I mean, they like every week their longest play is like 11 yards. They can't protect long enough. And my boy Ikem Ekwonu, I mean, yeah, look, I love him, but hadn't been great in pass protection. They can't protect him long enough for him to throw downfield. If guys could even get open downfield, it was supposed to be sort of this point guard, quick hitting distribution style system. And it just hadn't been that. I think if you flip Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, it'd be closer to even than it is right now in terms of the record and the numbers. I don't think CJ Stroud would be minus 10,000 to win offensive rookie of the year. And I don't think the bust word would be coming out for Bryce. You know what I mean? Like, I think people would be questioning CJ Stroud because it's hard to win with what Carolina has. And I think people would be like, all right, Bryce Young kind of, yeah, I think he might have it, but he definitely looks lost. I mean, he looks completely in over his head right now. And CJ, and by the way, the CJ, I like Bryce coming in. So I had him as the number one quarterback. CJ Stroud being awesome and the Panthers likely giving up the number one pick next year definitely had played a factor in David Tepper's growing impatience and unwillingness to like let Frank Reich try to, you know, fix this thing.
Okay. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast. If you want to hear more of the dirt with he and his boy Pete Prisco, I'm going to go listen after the show. When we return, I promise we'll get to some betting, but I got to ask you about Tepper, why you absolutely massacred him, and who could he potentially get to coach this team now with bad PR? We're coming back with Brinson next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Switch to Cricket today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. After all, you've been good this year, and they think you really, really deserve it. Smile, you're on Cricket. Sharp Money, presented by DraftKings. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Coming off last night, as Amal said, that was not necessarily an entertaining football game. It was, frankly, disgusting. You know what I did? In the second half, do you guys want to take a stab at what the Bears team total was second half? So not second half total, just Bears team total second half.
What was the – well, I'm going to guess – what was it? 3-3 at the break, right?
3-3 at the break is exciting. First half.
9.5.
I was going to say 9.5 as well.
So you guys would agreed with me. You would have went over 7.5.
Oh.
And that's what I did. And by the way, it was $1.05.
And it was
headed to 7.
Play. It was a brilliant play.
Yes. Well, brilliant worked. Because they made a field goal at the end of the game to go over. Remember, it was sitting on 6.
It cashed. There should have been a touchdown. You can't get in the red zone and not score touchdowns.
You want to take a guess at what Minnesota was then second half, just their team total?
Probably 9.5.
8.5?
10.5.
I didn't think theirs would be that high. I wasn't confident Minnesota could get 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, so they were favored coming in. I heard a lot of people talk about how the over might have been in play pregame. Boy, could we have all not been more wrong about what Minnesota was going to look like last night.
It's not great. They don't run the ball. There's two teams that don't run the ball.
Yeah.
The Washington Commanders and the Minnesota Vikings. Like, legitimately, you know, Sam Howell is essentially a rookie. He has more pass attempts than anybody in all of football. Like, he's been sacked more than anybody historically. But that let's go back to Fields, because I think there is an interesting conversation to be had here. I know by watching the Lions play Justin Fields, I'm terrified. And there's just feelings you get. Fellas, we talked about Zach Wilson, and, like, do you ever feel like he's competent? Do you ever feel like he's going to pick up a big third down? No.
No.
But there is a feeling around Fields, and that 36-yard completion, I just felt like on that third down pass, I'm like, he's going to make something happen here. Amal said it. He will throw up some weird ones, and he'll throw a bad pick, and you go back and you look at his numbers once the game is done, and it's not overwhelming. He's just a baller to me. Because the coaching was terrible. Getsy's the offensive coordinator. All those screen passes, like, your best defense for a constantly blitzing Minnesota defense is literally just throw basic screens. That's not doing him any favor. He doesn't really, outside of Moore, have a ton of weapons. The offensive line is eh. So again, they've gone 4-4 over their last eight. Here's a little snippet from a good friend that covers the Bears and writes nonstop about the Bears. What's funny, fellas, is during the game, he tweeted this. After Fields' second fumble, he said, "That's going to lead to the end of Justin Fields' career in Chicago." Then Fields battled back and actually had a game-winning drive, and he said his mentions filled up with Bears fans absolutely killing him for giving up on Fields. He was trying to highlight, this is our buddy Bill Zimmerman, he's trying to highlight that literally with every pass attempt, with every game, and obviously every season so far with Fields, Bears fans are up and down. But he's got a defensive-minded coach who's a good defensive coordinator. Eberflus's defenses take away the ball. The Bears' defenses have been really good. He's just not a head coach. And Amali just doesn't really have a roster or the kind of philosophy, I think, that's helped him shine, that being Fields. I think they're going to give up on him early. And I don't know if it's necessarily wrong if you have 1-3 to reset by giving up on him. I just think he's going to flourish Fields elsewhere.
I would agree with you. Here's the thing I would point out. And look, I think arguments can be made on both sides. How about if you're the Bears, you got the first pick out of Carolina, you take Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you go with the tackle out of Penn State. You know, you put him with Darnell Wright on one side and you put the kid out of Penn State on the other side, get a little protection there. Now you got Harrison Jr., Moore, and Cole Kmet. Or I'm going to tell you, I know, Patrick, I know you and I are in the same boat on this one. Let's go a little Matt Millen crazy here. Let's go Marvin Harrison Jr. and let's go Roma Dunze. And let's say, guys, we're going deep every play, baby. You can't stop us.
Can I say something that's sacrilegious?
No, you're not wrong. I know what you're going to say.
Can I have Roma Dunze beyond, but before Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is that like, am I going to get shot when I leave my condo?
No, because I'm in agreement with you. I think there's a debate, but what I'd say is the system and the play of the quarterback has highlighted how special Dunze is, and when it comes to Harrison, there's so many short throws he has to turn into something because McCord is so limited.
I don't disagree with what Dustin said, but I'm going to tell you, I've watched Roma Dunze very closely.
He's electric.
He is an absolute dude. I'm sorry, man. And, you know, listen, I would love to have the Buckeye go number one. But, Patrick, you and I said this about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I don't understand why it's an absolute blanket statement. Now, where I think Harrison will separate himself is in the 40-yard time.
He's faster than Odunze.
Yeah, he's 100%. Now, here's the other thing. Both of these guys are all airport team guys. Harrison's a legit 6'4". Odunze's a legit 6'3". They walk off that plane, you're going, these are number one receivers. But, I mean, imagine if you – listen. Some of this is a gamble to begin with, right? You don't know how a guy's going to react when he gets $25 million. He might be like, yo, dude, I'm Jamarcus Russell. I watched every play on the DVD. All of them are my favorite. The point is, you've got to take a chance if you're Ryan Pace and the Bears at this point in time. You know what? Look, you can say whatever you want about Jim Harbaugh, but he's had success in the NFL. He's come within about 7 yards of a Super Bowl. You maybe potentially bring him in. Kevin Warren, who is the former commissioner of the Big Ten. You've got a Big Ten guy there. You've got a quarterback that he knows well in Justin Fields. Faced him a couple of times when he was at Ohio State. I think you, the Bears, you are in a dream scenario here. By the way, when you look back historically, though, teams that have had the first pick have had two first-round picks in the top 10 have not done particularly well. You've had some teams that have done better than others, but you've not hit a home run with both of them. I don't know. I think you take a shot, and I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to probably take Harrison Jr. They want their Larry Fitzgerald 2.0. But the Bears could take Caleb Williams 1, and then potentially, you said at 3. I would go Marvin Harrison if he's there. If he's not, I'd go Roma Dunze.
Okay, so the rookie deal is something that has to be brought into this. Yeah. But we're all in agreement, and I know you have something on this, big guy, but we're all in agreement, or you guys are for sure feeling like Caleb Williams or Drake May is the better decision with the contract over Justin Fields. I hate to be on the fence about it, but I'm not completely sure.
I don't think it's necessarily the better option, but I think when your job is on the line, you reset the clock when you're the GM, when you're the coach, when you're Matt, if they bring him back next year. If it's a new coach, Justin Fields is gone. But when I look at the market for trading Justin Fields and who would want to get him and even give anything up for him, when you look around the league, I count maybe 6 teams that definitely need a quarterback, and I have 6 teams that might need a quarterback. The ones that definitely need a quarterback: Atlanta, New England, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Raiders, and then the Bears.
Well, the the Vikings might bring back Kirk Cousins.
He's a free agent, but yeah.
Yeah, but so here's my thing. I would throw Green Bay in the mix. I would love to see
Green
him.
Green Bay's
in
my maybes. Yeah. My maybes are Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, New Orleans, the Giants, and Patrick will disagree, but maybe the Commanders, because you just don't know what their plan is.
That's fair.
That's fine, but here's the thing. For people that are unaware, first-round draft picks get a four-year deal with the team option for the fifth year. The Bears have declined Justin Fields' fifth-year option, which makes sense. Because they would have to pay him somewhere in the $20 to $25 million range. So I get that they declined that one at this point in time. However, Patrick, this is the big gamble. You know, this is what it comes down to for the general manager. I think Ryan Pace is going to reset that clock. But I'm with you. I don't think it's a slam dunk that Drake May and Caleb Williams are going to be better. Drake May plays in the system in North Carolina. We've seen it with guys in the past, Mitchell Trubisky, among others, that look like they've had great success. Now, granted, that was a different coaching staff. But all I'm saying is they're throwing the ball around the yard. There's not a lot of great defenses in the ACC. Caleb Williams is a lot sturdier physically, and he's got great mobility than Bryce Young. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, he needs that same step stool that Bryce Young needs.
And can he handle the cold?
He's from D.C.
He's been playing like in warmer
weather. Handle the cold.
Chicago, I
love you. What are you talking about?
You just
go out in the cold and deal with it.
I don't agree with that.
When you went to Chicago in the winter, what happened to your body? What did you do?
I hated it, but you just mentally have to. You're right. The fact that I'm a middle-aged man and got to choose where I wanted to go, but, you know, growing up, you really couldn't mess with me in snow football. No. So that's facts.
But I just think it's a little bit.
I just flipped the mindset, bro.
There's part of a reason why quarterbacks continually don't come through in Chicago. I just think it's a different attitude. It's a different mindset to deal with that cold when you're the quarterback, when you're trying to make those plays out there on that field that is basically as hard as this marble desk we're at right now. Like, it's just a different breed. And by the way, I'm not so sure Jaden Daniels isn't one of those options for the first pick.
Dude, we had a guy in the SFL, the Street Football League, take one right into the mailbox that was covered in snow one time. That was brutal.
They don't move.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin, I think the one thing to ask is, like you said during your conversation there, like, they're going to keep Eberflus. Is that something that they're really thinking of doing?
No,
they have a weak schedule to close out. He could win another three games. Like, there's no chance. If you're going to draft a new quarterback and reset that clock, you have to move on with an offensive-minded guy.
Yes.
That's the only thing we definitely know, correct?
They've done Justin Fields a disservice, which is why moving on, I think, would be best for both parties.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got you back. I'm Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. We're going to go to North Carolina and bring in our buddy Will Brinson. This has somehow turned into a David Tepper show. And I don't, again, it's insane. And Will, who's based in Raleigh, he went scorched earth over at CBS Sports. I encourage you all to read the article at CBS. Again, Reich fired by the Panthers, but Carolina's owner, David Tepper, remains the bigger issue. So we're going to get to that and also some plays as the NFL continues. But let's start here, and then we'll jump into the drama. You have a choice on Justin Fields. You're the Bears front office. What are you going to do? Again, you got to pay him. If you draft one of the rookie quarterbacks, they're coming in on a rookie deal. That's advantageous. But I want to know what you would do.
Well, I think it depends a lot on where your picks end up being. You know, obviously the win over the Vikings moves the Bears. I think they have the fourth pick, and of course the first pick coming from the Panthers. So, if you have the first pick and the fourth pick, if the draft ended where it does today, and we actually just talked about this on my podcast with Pete Prisco, Pick Six Podcast. You can check it out, subscribe where you get your podcast. But I think there's a chance you could pull off a trade down with like New England. It depends on whether Belichick's there too. Like if you can pull that off, right? There's a lot in flux here, or maybe even Washington, and you could pick up a bunch of extra draft capital while keeping Justin Fields, adding maybe an offensive lineman, and picking up Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that would probably be the ideal situation in terms of building the best roster you could possibly get. I think the issue is, guys, I'm not sold on Justin Fields. I think you can see some signs that he can. He can thrive in the pocket. You probably have to, you know, Luke Getsy and this offensive team, like the offensive coordinator and everybody, the coaching staff, it's like they don't bother accentuating what Justin Fields does well until they're like 1-5. And they're like, maybe we should let Fields run. Maybe we should design some runs for Justin Fields. Like, that should be built into the game plan every single week. And I would hire a coach who wants to do that if you keep Fields. I think the other problem is Caleb Williams and Drake May. I mean, they're not guaranteed to be great quarterbacks in the NFL. Caleb Williams, I know, is like supposed to be this unbelievable prospect. He's had his ups and downs this year. And that always happens when you have the Heisman hype that he got from last season. Drake May hadn't beaten a good defense in his career at Carolina. And I say that enthusiastically because my NC State Wolfpack smoked Carolina on Saturday in Raleigh. But I think right now I'd be leaning towards Fields. But I didn't think I would say that because I didn't love Fields coming out. I'm hesitant to dive right back in when you could possibly put enough around Fields where you had Marvin Harrison Jr. And then with DJ Moore, and you feel like you got something you can really cook with at the, you know, if Fields develops at all.
I like that point you made there, but overall, just from you, what you've broken it down very well. But what is your gut feeling the Bears do? Because the one thing Patrick pointed out is you've got a new regime there. And I think Ryan Poles ends up taking his own guy. He didn't draft Justin Fields. And it resets the clock on the contract. We talked about it earlier on the rookie deal. Is that what they probably end up doing? Whether it's the right move or not, we'll see. But it seems like the move that teams make.
Yeah, and you know, the reset the clock thing, the other thing it does is when you take over as a GM, you have two clocks that start when you first take over. You have the quarterback clock and you have the coaching clock. And now you can hit the reset button on the coaching clock usually once and get a second chance at a coach. You can't do it with the quarterback, right? You get one shot at the quarterback. So I think it's really interesting here. If you're Ryan Poles and you think that you can't win with Justin Fields and you feel like there's a chance Matt Eberflus gets fired after this year, which there still very much is, you could hit the reset button on the coach situation, bring in an offensive guy, and also hit the reset button on the quarterback situation at the same time. And that can potentially extend the livelihood that you get because you're pairing that coach and that quarterback. So I would say yes. I think it's more likely that they take another quarterback because of the salary reset and the timeline reset for Ryan Poles. It extends his livelihood as GM because he's finally got, you know, his own guy.
Our buddy Will Brinson, you heard it, the Pick Six podcast, CBS Sports. Go check out the article about Frank Reich being fired. So let's just start at a very basic place. Do you believe Frank Reich was the right head coach for the Carolina Panthers moving forward?
Moving forward, no, I don't think so. I definitely did before the season. I thought Frank Reich was a great hire. I'm a big Frank Reich guy. You know, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles as the coordinator, of course. I thought he got a raw deal in Indianapolis. I mean, he had... You know, Andrew Luck retires. He makes it work with like Jacoby Brissett. Maybe it's because he's only had NC State quarterbacks. I may be a little biased there. He had Phillip Rivers, of course. The thing that did him in Indy was that he really hammered the table and said, we got to trade for Carson Wentz. Wentz cost them a shot at the playoffs in that Week 18 game. Ursay hated him for it and held grudge against Frank Reich. I think hearing what we've heard the last couple of days, reading between the lines, you know, listening to people around the league, and sort of, you know, look at like what's happened with the way that they've handled this coaching staff post Wright, right? Frank Wright gets fired and they promote the special teams coordinator to head coach. They keep Thomas Brown as the offensive coordinator. Jim Caldwell becomes a special assistant to the offensive coordinator. What the hell is that? I've never even heard of that. You ever heard of somebody? It's like the offensive coordinator now has like a babysitter. Like, so you just gave him like Jim Caldwell's like a babysitter. Like, what's the thing? He's a special assistant to the offensive coordinator. That's insulting. And then the new coach fires Deuce Staley and Josh McCown. Josh McCown's first stint as in the NFL as a coach. And you saw his agent, Mike McCartney, tweet out. He's like, weird day in the business for sure. That's all I'll say. I think what happened was, and Joe Person of the Athletics did a good job talking about this. He's sort of floating under the radar. Wright comes in. They also add Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown apparently they were attempting to meld Wright's offense with a bunch of stuff from Thomas Brown's time with the Rams and Sean McVay. And that's really hard to do if you have like a veteran quarterback who with a good offensive line and weapons who he's familiar with timing wise and who have explosion down the field. Well, the Panthers have a terrible offensive line. you know, they're probably there's a lot more of this zone blocking stuff they're trying to do, and they have this mauling, like, downhill running team that they need to utilize more. They have zero vertical explosion whatsoever. Adam Thielen's their best wide receiver. He's a good three, a really good three. He is not a number one. You heard the Titans talk about it. Mike Vrabel said 30% of his targets were on third down because they just lock it. Bryce Young locks in on him, so they just took him away, and the Panthers can't convert anything. And then, you know, you have this rookie quarterback who's behind a bad offensive line with no weapons, trying to learn this melded system that even the coaching staff isn't really on board with. And I think some factions may have developed in that coaching staff, this all-star staff with 200 years where everybody's a little proud and maybe, you know, everybody's been around for a while. And you see when Wright gets fired, the loyalists, and this happened last year with Matt Rhule, Steve Wilks fired Phil Snow and a bunch of other dudes because they were Matt Rhule guys. You know, the Wright loyalists got fired, and you sort of wonder what. And Wright now is saying that he's probably done in the NFL. Like, so he may have been checked out for a month for all we know. And I don't know. It's a total disaster down there. I definitely think he wasn't the right guy moving forward, but I don't think it's because he didn't love it. I think it's because he just knew he was getting fired a month ago because David Tepper put an ultimatum on his job.
I'm sorry, Amal. Let me just say this. Like, Will Brinson, this is all alleged, so don't worry. It's not on the record. What dirt are you hearing potentially within that staff?
Well, Prisco said, I can quote Prisco and then get away with anything I want, right?
So there you go.
Pete said that somebody told him, he said this on the podcast, but he said somebody told him that it was like the staff is like a bunch of gym teachers. Which,
got it.
It's like, you're like, what? And then you're like, oh, you mean like old, like crusty dudes in like short shorts, blowing whistles and sort of kind of check phoning it in and like yelling like, hey, what are you doing, Smith? Climb the rope. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's sort of like the comments from Frank Reich are stunning to me because this is a guy who, and I think a lot of times coaches, it would behoove them when they get fired from a job, even though he took a half season off, take a year off and recharge. Mike McCarthy, you know, we've made fun of him. Everybody made fun of him for the analytics. Like, I went PFF for a day and now I'm a smart analytics guy. Like we all made fun of him for it, but he got a year off. He recharged his batteries. You can see he came back better. Like Rex Ryan jumped straight from AFC East to AFC East and it didn't last long. And I think Frank Wright probably burned out to the point where he may not want to coach again. Pretty crazy.
Well, when you look at Bryce Young, what was your thoughts about him coming into the draft? The general consensus, and then based on 10, 11 weeks so far, he's still a rookie, but if people kind of downgraded him a little bit, or just the fact that you pointed out earlier, I mean, he doesn't really have. You got Chark, you've got Mingo, Adam Thielen, you mentioned a number three at 33 years old. He doesn't have a ton around him.
He's got nothing around him. Yeah. I mean, they, like, every week their longest play is like 11 yards. They can't protect long enough. And my boy, Ikem Ekwonu, I mean, you know, look, I love him, but hadn't been great in pass protection. They can't protect him long enough for him to throw downfield. If guys could even get open downfield, it was supposed to be sort of this point guard, quick hitting distribution style system. And it just hadn't been that. I think if you flip Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, it'd be closer to even than it is right now in terms of the record and the numbers. I don't think C.J. Stroud would be minus 10,000 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I don't think the bust word would be coming out for Bryce. You know what I mean? Like, I think people would be questioning C.J. Stroud because it's hard to win with what Carolina has, and I think people would be like, all right, Bryce Young, kind of, yeah, I think he might have it, but he definitely looks lost. I mean, he looks completely in over his head right now, and C.J. and by the way, the C.J. I like Bryce coming in, so I had him as the number one quarterback. C.J. Stroud being awesome. And the Panthers likely giving up the number one pick next year definitely had a factor, played a factor in David Tepper's growing impatience and unwillingness to like let Frank Reich try to, you know, fix this thing.
Okay. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast. If you want to hear more of the dirt with he and his boy Pete Prisco, I'm going to go listen after the show. When we return, I promise we'll get to some betting, but I got to ask you about Tepper, why you absolutely massacred him, and who could he potentially get to coach this team now with bad PR? We're coming back with Brinson next.
This This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, as we welcome you back, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, Will Brinson, CBS Sports, the Pick 6 podcast. He just told us he's the most famous person from Raleigh, North Carolina during the break, which was an odd flex. Total Wine, Spirits, Beer. Your mic's off. I'll let you talk in a second. Total Wine, Spirits, Beer, and more. Lowest prices, even in Raleigh, for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find. Please drink responsibly. You must be 21 years or older. If you go to a Total Wine in Raleigh, maybe you can find Will Brinson. He'll give you an autograph. Is that true, Will?
I won't give anyone an autograph, but I love Total Wine. That's my wine shop. Big cab guy.
Yeah, of course you are.
Carson Wentz, born in Raleigh. He moved.
Like, oh, that counts.
But he was born.
That counts.
Josh Hamilton, former MVP.
That counts for sure.
You got anybody besides Will Brinson with sustained success?
Pistol Pete Maravich.
Oh, no, come on. That's a great one. That's a tremendous. And I think you even gave us somebody from American Idol during the break.
Yeah, my boy, Scotty McCreery. Yeah, great guy. Andrew Johnson, former president. He had a little, I don't know if it's just sustained success. He didn't live very long.
No. Andrew Johnson was a bottom three president and very racist. Yes. But you can claim him if you'd like.
He was in the South in the 1800s. I mean, I'm not surprised.
It's a little bit of a different atmosphere back then. I totally understand.
I just learned this one. Dexter. Michael C. Hall from Born in Raleigh, apparently.
Very impressive. Okay, the more you know. Now, Tepper, Carolina. First off, what does Carolina mean to the Carolinas? North Carolina in particular, and is it what you see? You've covered the NFL forever. Is the fervor like it is elsewhere? What is Tepper dealing with a fan base?
Oh yeah. So it's interesting. So the Carolina Panthers are in Charlotte, and the Carolina Hurricanes are here in Raleigh, right? Like it's like 2 hours away or whatever. I mean, it's not far.
Right.
You get to a Panthers game quickly. If CBS they're not like, go cover the Panthers. That's what you should do. They've never wanted me to go cover the Panthers except for that 2015 season. But typically speaking, like Raleigh and Charlotte hate each other. So Charlotte doesn't like the hockey team, and Raleigh is like kind of on the football team. But it's mostly the whole Carolina thing was designed to rope in South Carolina as well.
Yep.
So you get the whole state of North Carolina and South Carolina. Charlotte's right there on the border, of course. And people are pissed. People are tired of David Tepper. I saw the article I wrote get posted on Carolina Huddle, like the Panthers message board. I've seen plenty of other people write about the problems with David Tepper. There's a whole practice facility thing in Rock Hill, the giant megaplex practice facility that was supposed to be built. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Tepper, you know, he didn't do anything illegal, of course, but you know, you pull the money from a smaller local municipality or city, and it's going to make some people mad. And the product's been terrible. I think they're the third worst out of all the big four sports. They have like the third worst record since Tepper took over of any team in all those sports, which is just the Jets. Only the Jets are worse, I think, in the NFL.
We had a kind of interesting conversation. What do you make of his disposition and personality and just leadership in an ownership group? Because he feels like a guy who's going to be similar to Jerry Jones and sending plays to the offensive coordinator, which we've heard about.
So I what I said in my article and I wrote, and I think this is the easiest comparison, is the Panthers are the new Browns. When Jimmy Haslam took over the Browns, I remember watching his press conference and writing about it for CBS way back in the day, like 10 years ago, whatever. He's like, man, I'm fired up to the max. Like that was his big catch line. He's like, I'm fired up to the max to bring great football to Cleveland. Everybody's like, wow, this enthusiastic, bombastic billionaire is coming to town, and he's a former Steelers minority owner. So he's got great experience in being hands off and letting the football guys do football things. And he's just going to recreate the Steelers here. And they had three coaches since 1969. And then Jimmy Haslam, that's a homeless guy, convinced him to draft Johnny Manziel in the first round. Right. And David Tepper's like the same way. He comes in, he's like, oh yeah. Like, man, believe me, I'm a genius. I was with the Steelers. I think I know football. Right. In fact, if you go back and read the quotes from when he hired Matt Rhule, It's actually kind of funny. I can't say the S word on here, I assume, right?
That's correct.
No, we prefer okay. you not, but it's...
Yeah, you know, it's fine. I mean, he said it in his press conference. I was going to quote him, but I'll use bleep instead. But he said, I think Matt Rhule could come in here and build an organization for the next 30 or 40 years. He referenced Chuck Noll and said he built a program that's lasted through three coaches. That's what I hope Matt Rhule can do for us here. He didn't make it 3 years, by the way. And then at the end of this article, and this is sort of the tell-all, especially if it's that famous coach's photo from the owners' meetings out in Arizona. Tepper's, he's like, he dresses like bleep and sweats all over himself. Talk about Matt Rhule. He dresses like me, so I have to love the guy. I was a short order cook. He was a short order cook. Nobody gave him anything. Nobody gave me anything. He had to work hard for everything he got. Like, how can you go from he reminds me of Chuck Noll to he dresses like bleep and he sweats all over himself?
It's a weird transition. Yeah,
and I think Tepper, I think David Tepper is convinced that he can simply, like, the problem is, hey, look, it's his prerogative. He can do whatever the hell he wants. He owns a team. If he wants to tell him who to draft, I mean, you look at the moves that they've made. Very clear. He's made it clear he wants a quarterback so bad. They tried to trade for Matthew Stafford. Stafford didn't want to do it. They tried to trade for Russell Wilson. He didn't want to do it. They definitely made overtures to Aaron Rodgers. No interest. You have coaches, you know, Ben Johnson pulls out because he's like, I'm seeing what's going on in Carolina. There are coaches who didn't want to go there last year when Frank Reich got hired. They trade for Sam Darnold. Automatically give him the fifth year option right away for no reason whatsoever. You didn't have to do it. Without seeing him play one snap. If he played great, awesome, that's a win. You just franchise tag him. Darnold doesn't work out. And by the way, they signed Teddy Bridgewater the year before. Darnold doesn't work out. So they go trade for Baker Mayfield. Not a high price. But then in the draft, they go and trade up to get Matt Corral because there's a tiny run on a crappy group of quarterbacks. And they give up a third-round pick to go get Matt Corral with a third-round pick. He doesn't play a snap for him. And then a year later, after the team stinks again, he panics and trades up for Bryce Young. And it's like, Scott Fitter, the GM, comes from the John Schneider school of personnel. He is not a guy who likes to be aggressive and trade up. He likes to trade back and accumulate draft picks. So the only possible thing to discern from all this is that someone else is pulling the strings. And when David Tepper tells us in this press conference today that he's like, I don't make any decisions. I just have full veto on every decision that's made. That's not any better. Nobody wants to bring you the crazy boss guy who fires everyone, a thing you don't like, and have you veto it. You're just going to fire them. So it's like, of course, everyone's trying to like line it up. Like, what does the boss man want? Somebody's telling these people, Tepper and whoever else in his party, maybe his wife, whoever else, is that they like Bryce Young. They want Bryce Young. So it's like, all right, we got to get behind Bryce Young. Because if you're in the meeting, you raise your hand, you're like, I want CJ Stroud, right. You might get fired.
That's well put. Okay, Dustin, that's a win for you. Dustin Sweetelson, our producer, he agrees with you. All right, 2.5 minutes. I just want to know what you think, because you wrote about this in your column yesterday over at CBS Sports. What do you ultimately think happens with Bill Belichick?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that idea. I think that you'll just tie it together. David Tepper, sick of losing, wants a big swing this offseason. He only knows big swings. He doesn't know little swings. He tried to get Sean Payton, no dice. So he's like, all right, just settle for Frank Reich. He's not going to have dudes who are interested in this, but I think that Bill Belichick, you got Bryce Young, who's a Nick Saban quarterback, so Belichick will have the info on him. You got defensive pieces. You got a really bad NFC South that with just a decent amount of coaching could, you know, in some couple of moves, get some players in there. You could make a run. Why not give up a pick and go get Bill Belichick, give him full run of the building in Charlotte, and tell him to just go do whatever he has to do to win, and Belichick gets to extract himself from New England where things are struggling and clearly there's power struggles. But I think the short answer is Bill Belichick coaches somewhere else next year. There's just too much at conflict right now inside that building. Mac Jones isn't working out. The Patriots are going to have a high pick. Belichick is going to probably lose personnel control no matter what. And when they tell him to do that, I think he's going to say, let's figure out a way to get me out of here. And then he either ends up going to the Chargers or the Panthers, maybe Washington. Chargers have Mahomes and Andy Reid there, so that's kind of dangerous. Panthers, that division, if you like Bryce Young, that division is wide open.
Beautiful. Will Brinson, well done. That was entertaining. Very good stuff. Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports. I encourage, just to kind of get deeper into it, I encourage right now over at CBS Sports, I encourage the Tepper article that Will wrote. It's a very good article. Will, thank you very much, and happy holidays, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you guys got it. Happy holidays. Take
Thanks.
Care.
Okay, you thank you, buddy. I like that,
that
guy.
Great.
He is tremendous. He mentioned Belichick elsewhere. That's what it seems to be the pervading. Like, it doesn't seem like he's done, though, Amal. It does appear that he wants to continue. So it looks like he's going to be coaching, but elsewhere next year.
Yeah, I think he'd be better off if he started to exit streets instead of in Southie somewhere else in the morning.
Yep, the weird doorbell video that's floating around is one of the oddest things I've ever seen in my life. Tim Jenkins, our quarterback guru, is coming up. What does he think about Justin Fields next?